I can hold my beer as good as any man, and I'll dance and sing as long as I can.
Yo, 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 we got Rhythm and Brews crew in the house for episode 13, Mandem. We be the podcast that puts Peng music and hench beer together, fam. Brap, brap.
Fucking hell.
What was that? Who even knows? Welcome to Rhythm and Brews. If you haven't cottoned on yet, this is a hip-hop episode. This is the hip-hop challenge.
The hip-hop challenge.
Which I don't think is actually going to feature any grime, even though my amazing lingo just then.
It was well thought. Yeah. An A-star for an effort.
I am a bit dirty. Does that count as grime?
That was the dad joke.
So we're here. If you didn't hear, there were two other voices there. So there's obviously Andrew here me today.
Yes.
But we're also joined by the man who gave us the challenge, Matt Chinnery.
Hello. You all right, guys?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for coming along.
So otherwise known as Half Pint Gent.
Yep.
On the Twitters.
On the Twittersphere.
On the Twitters. And also now works for WBB and Renegade.
West Berkshire Brewery and Renegade London account manager.
Look at you. Look at you with your beer credentials. Jesus. And now I feel like we're cheating because this is obviously the second lot of West Berks.
I know. Anyone think we'd have shares?
Or
they were giving
here,
us free beer?
Yeah. Yeah, no, but no, this came pre your...
It was before I started working.
It was. So this was basically a challenge thrown down on Twitter via the podcast that we did with Chris and...
it's not a funny joke anymore, Luke.
It's not anymore,
I'm just glad you got my name right, so I'm all right. I'm happy with that.
It is my talent. just fucking up names. That's my talent. So you thought that we didn't have enough hip hop on the show.
Well, yeah, I heard you talking smack about hip hop and how it doesn't pair with beer. No, I heard you saying talking about it and how it's something you haven't done before. Steve and Martin know me really well. They also know that I love hip hop. They've been around my house. Steve's all right. Steve doesn't mind it. He might have had a few jokes online, but he's definitely pulled out a few Tribe Called Quest LPs around mine. Martin, however, 100% doesn't like it.
Can you keg it?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, I think I don't really see Martin as a massive hip hop junkie.
I could kind of imagine Steve maybe in an all b-boy back in the day, did a bit of breakdancing maybe in his bedroom.
Definitely.
Martin, however, I think skipped the whole hip hop era. I think.
I reckon the closest he got to hip hop was possibly Aerosmith.
That's not hip hop. That's my song choice out the window.
No.
It's a good thing we've got somebody with such shit taste in the room. So. Get onto the preamble, Andrew, for those who haven't listened before.
So the theory being, backed up by scientific evidence and my own opinion.
Cited many times.
So can you make beer taste better by playing the right kind of music to accompany it? Can you enhance the flavours in it by picking the right song? And Luke will say enhance and I will say make better.
Yeah, it's actually just bringing out particular flavours, Andrew.
Particular flavours.
Get the fucking story right.
So high tones, sweetness, bassy tones, bitterness, spiky, discordant tones, sourness, and you riff off that. And then the other element is the experiential element. Can you enhance a beer by playing on experiential aspects of it? Can you tap into people's subconscious and make the beer taste better? Can you play summary songs and make a lager taste fantastic? No, you can't.
That was a good 20 minutes. Fell asleep three times, so it's good. Pick up the pace next time.
It's definitely growing. That intro is definitely growing.
No, I'm just going to make a point. If anyone did a little stopwatch on the amount of time that Luke talks on the podcast versus me on the podcast.
Shut your stupid face. So, Matt. So for those who don't know you, do you want to give a potted history in you?
So, last 5 years, was beer blogging, Half Pint Gen, lot of travel, a lot of different beers. From there, I was invited into the British Guild of Beer Writers. At the same time, around about 5 years ago as well, I was voluntary work at the Leighton Orient Supporters Club. We have an amazing bar at the ground, which is 8 cask beers and a wall full of camera awards. That kind of taught me more than just drinking beer and appreciating beer through there. And at the same time, working in travel, which worked very well with the blog because I was getting to go places to experience beer that I wasn't going to from my own pocket, which was nice. And that helped grow the blog. And then for the last 3 months, I've been working in the industry with West Berkshire as a London account manager at a very exciting time with the brewery expansion, which you all listened to on the previous podcast, which I won't go through the second time with you guys.
How is the new?
It is amazing.
I mean, we're still waiting for our invite.
Yeah, I think this Wednesday we had the first open night at the brewery. Don't worry, I wasn't there either, guys. Don't worry.
Honestly,
but yeah,
let's just we'll cut the podcast there, Josh.
Yeah, done with you now. But no, yeah, there'll be some stuff coming up that you guys can come along and others, and there's lots of exciting things coming in the future, near future, which is great. But yeah, really, just I've always kind of drunk beer, even from 18. He says with common marks, if mum's listening. But always like been interested in different beers. If it wasn't like it was cask beer back in the day. But Belgian beers as well, especially. I think Belgian beer was really what changed just, you know, having a beer to actually enjoying beer. And then that passion grew into the blogging, into Leighton Orient. And then I got to the point where I was like, well, you know, maybe I should, you know, I like it this much, I should work in the industry and I'll give it a go. And I'm really lucky to be working where I am now. So it's...
So the whole might as well get paid for this shit, right?
Yeah. I'm doing it anyway, so...
But I mean, clearly all of that must have stood you in good stead then. I mean, it clearly helped.
Oh, yeah, I hope so, yeah. It's been great. It's been a great first 3 months, and I'm looking forward to everything else that's coming in the near future, especially with the new releases. But and then obviously before that, the reason I'm here today is a massive hip-hop fan from a very early age, and... As we were talking about earlier, in the pub,
we weren't
in the pub. We came. We're professionals.
Oh yeah. Walking down to the studio, discussing game plan for the podcast. Always been a massive hip hop fan from an early age. I think it was about. I must have been about year 8, which would have been for me 1998. I was handed Exhibit Speed of Life on cassette, and it kind of just went crazy from there, really. So I'm sure we'll go more into that in a bit.
I mean, quickly. So we were talking about this in the walk up here, the pre-brief. That's what we call it.
And I was nodding as though I knew what you were talking about.
Yep. because you got no idea.
No.
Basically,
idea.
Your hip hop knowledge, Andrew, is pretty much 3 feet and rising.
It
right?
stops after Africa Bambaataa, and that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So Matt, what? Because obviously, for those who are really into it, there's. I mean, to say you like hip hop is a little bit like I like rock music.
Yeah.
Particular area are you sort of interested in?
So yeah, I love hip hop. I also hate a lot of it as well. So I started off. Say in the 90s, which for commercial hip hop was the best time, 95, 96. Everyone will talk about those years. And then it grew, and yes, it, you know, leaning into gangster rap when I was a bit younger because it was all a bit exciting and different, but like that wasn't really where, you know, I couldn't really relate to that. You know, I wasn't selling drugs and I lived in quite a nice area.
Or
and,
slapping hoes. You weren't popping a
My hoe slapping was at a minimum.
You're just quoting House of Pain lyrics, Andrew.
Right, yeah.
But it grew from there. When I got a bit older, like I definitely related with the UK hip hop. I went to college, did music technology, which was basically, I left school, I didn't know what the fuck I was wanting to do. I was like, I kind of like music. I'll do music technology. I can't play any instruments, so I'll try and record them instead. Went to I won't know no names. Went to a certain college, and the teaching was absolutely dog shit. And when it got to the point where the teacher was in the pub before I was, I thought, actually, this isn't for me. So although the intention was there for kind of music, but it wasn't. But when I went there, the scene where I went to college and higher education, the hip-hop scene was great. Essex had a really good hip-hop scene at the time. And I grew up experiencing all this UK hip hop and Essex hip hop, and it just grabbed like a creativity within me, which I guess kind of in a weird way is the same sort of thing with the blogging and beer.
Yeah.
So when I first got the, you know, first started listening to hip hop around my way, I was like definitely related to that. There was much more underground feel to it. Battle rap was at the beginning, it was much more battle rap than you know, sort of gangster rap. And yeah, it just grew from there. I had a mate who owned a record shop in the South End called Blokey. Still a good friend of mine. He wasn't born Blokey, but his nickname was Blokey.
That's a good nickname. I like that.
And he kind of like a Jedi master sort of, you know, introduced me to hip hop that was less commercial, I guess. He's my hip hop Jedi master. But through him, he never name dropped, but he knew a lot of people. But he used to manage Gunshot, which was a big UK hip hop group back in early 90s, maybe late 80s, I'm not sure. But definitely early 90s. And he knew loads of people. And through that, I kind of did a bit of work in the shop, but I tend to just spend the money in the shop to the point where it was like, do you want to work for a couple of records? Like, yeah, like, okay. I was never a DJ, I'll throw that out there. Those that have seen me at
everyone's a DJ. Yeah. Everyone's a DJ.
Those that have seen me at 40 Foot know that I'm not a proper DJ, but I am a vinyl junkie, so I've got lots of vinyl.
Man after my own heart.
But UK hip hop, like, that was what that really changed it for me. People like Skinny Man and Foreign Beggars and Task Force, and I'll suddenly listen to music that actually I could relate to this more so than American stuff, and it really grew from there.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan. And then I actually had a bit of a period where I was like, hip hop got really commercial and it was really shit. I kind of fell out of love with it a little bit. At the same time, like, my decks at home kind of had to be repaired and the speakers weren't working. So I had a couple of years out of music, to be honest. But then, as some of the artists we were talking about earlier before the show, there's a lot of new artists that kind of got that love for me again. Again, UK hip hop, there's a lot of new artists, you know, people down Brighton, there's loads of great stuff in Brighton, like Leaf Dog and Dirty Dyke and people like that. But also American artists like Action Bronson was someone opened up, like, recently I got really into, but that wasn't just hip hop, I think that was the whole food, everything, like his whole lifestyle and the YouTube shit, and that was like, I was on it. And then again, like it never went away, I was back in it again, and now I'm, you know, really into it again, and trying to get some of the records that I sold before, which was a bit of an idiot for doing stuff like that. So.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I won't need this again.
Yeah. So I need a bit of money, I'll sell this. And I never realising, you know, how actually this might be worth something in a couple of years. And going into a record shop the other day and looking, thinking, oh, shit, I had that.
Yeah. Okay, so shall we
do a beer?
Shall we get into the beer?
Yes.
I'm thirsty.
Yeah, I'm parched.
Is that a hip hop term?
Parched?
Could be.
Very, very. It's very strange.
Yeah, I'm seeing this as episodes of pure education for me.
It's, well, what do you want an education in? Do you want an education in the UK hip hop scene? Do you want an education in the gangster rap? I mean, I can tell you about the Crips and the Bloods. I can tell you about
Crips
40s
and Bloods. I know about the Crips and the Bloods.
Okay. We should have got brown paper bags for all our beers.
It's we need to. I mean, so every single song we play, we need to tip one out for our homies as well. Is that okay?
Not on the floor.
Sorry, Josh. So we've got Josh, our producer, back in the room. Hello, Josh.
Hello.
Okay, so let's go with beer number one. Oh, Jesus.
Beer number one.
Okay, so just going to crack a few open, pass them around. Oh. So beer number one is your choice for me, Matt, isn't it? Oh,
yeah.
That's not You're getting it everywhere.
I am. This is the problem with carrying beers around in your bag all day. Okay, so beer number one is... Gotta make sure I get the name right. So this is Live Up by Signature Brew,
is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, it is Live Up.
Yeah, Live Up.
Live Up. No.
Wow, that was slightly racist, Andrew.
No, right.
this is Signature Brew. This is a bourbon oak golden ale, and why was this picked?
it seemed rude not to go for this beer for the hip hop challenge because Signature Brew do a lot of collaborations with music artists, and they're quite good friends of mine. And for a long time, I've been nagging at them doing a hip hop collaboration. Although one of their very early ones was with Professor Green, but that was kind of before Signature got their kind of branding and lives on one of the first beers. And so I've been nagging him for ages to do a hip hop song.
You're gonna need
a collaboration.
To.
And then out of nowhere, they got a really great one with Rodney P, who is one of the UK pioneers. London
so,
Posse.
I must admit that I didn't actually know any Rodney P. I mean, this
what?
Is.
What? You sound like me now.
I know. I think this is a massive oversight on my behalf. But in fact, when I started to look him up, and then he started coming up because he did some stuff with.
Come on, research.
I just click a lot and then it'll come back to me, right?
Okay.
He did some stuff with somebody.
Oh, man.
We'll edit that in
there. This is what editing's for.
Before the
this is what editing's for. Quick, get up now. Yeah, no, he did collaborations and I was like, oh, he must have been with those guys. And look at, no, he wasn't with them. No, it's just that he's actually massive and I've never heard of him.
Yeah, so he started off in London Posse, which is a, you know, early UK hip-hop group.
Yeah.
He's now with True Faults. So True Faults, a record label in Brighton. Very different styles of music. Hot 8 Brass Band, one of them. Alice Russell, who's amazing, another artist of theirs. And this was a recent collaboration with Signature Brew. Rodney P, from what I've been told, was like on board all the way through. Like he was there tasting the beers, there for the brew day. Okay. I was there at the True Faults 18th birthday party at a Roundhouse in Camden. Rodney P did the first pour and the keg was cracked open. Like he was super into it, which is great.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, like not lovely chap. He's had a couple of documentaries out recently, which is worth checking out. So yeah, if you want to check out the history of hip hop, Rodney P has an amazing documentary out recently.
No. Come on, Andrew, get behind
it.
Embrace it.
The hip hop. He actually had some sort of sway or influence on the beer itself.
So unlike a bit of Rick Astley, where it looks like he just
what?
Turned up to the marketing days.
He turned up for the photos, didn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. I think that was pretty much it.
No,
for those who don't know, Rick Astley just did a beer with Mikella, and apparently it's awful. Anyway.
all of the beers that Signature Brew do collaboration-wise with music... there's been loads of different music bands and
what was the festival artists. You went to where they had the stage?
So Slam Dunk had sponsored one of the stages at Signature, so they had their own. But then also, I've been lucky enough, our local venue, which seems to get name checked every episode these days, Club 85, had the Skints playing last year.
Yeah, they just got the beer.
Who they did the beer with. So now they've got a glut of Skints beer because everybody in Club 85 only drinks like a.
Cider.
London Pride and cider. I've just been like emptying their fridge of the Skints beer because it is gorgeous, beautiful, like citrusy, tropical sort of summery drink.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I absolutely love everything that Signature do. I think they're
well, all their collaborations with the artists and bands and stuff. They're like their proper collaborations. Mm. They sit down. It's not a case of. Just sticking the name on the label, they sit down, they all have beers together. They usually do like videos and stuff you can check as well.
Wow. See, this is what we need more of.
So now
we've got two that we know that are good. We've got Signature and we've got good chemistry in Bristol, who do good music collabs. So we'll note that down, Andrew.
Well, I'm noting it.
Okay, so should we get onto my tasting notes?
Yeah. Describe the beer, Luke.
Describe the beer. So. Interestingly, so for those at home who don't have a can of this, can you get it?
I think I saw it on their website.
I don't know size-wise what it is, but it is definitely available.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. So get your hands on it. So as I said, it's a barrel-aged golden... Well,
it's not barrel-aged.
It's bourbon oak
golden ale.
Yep. Even though it has a picture of a barrel in the front.
It's not barrel-aged.
It's not been in a barrel.
It's not barrel-aged. We'll get to that in a second. So this is it's obviously a golden ale made with a bit of bourbon,
bourbon oak.
Well, obviously it's not that, like they've tipped bourbon into.
But that's
it,
what
Jesus.
I thought you were implying that they've just put bourbon.
Shut
in.
Your
they
face.
Haven't. I'm not, just clarifying.
Not much of a nose, surprisingly, for something that like something you'd expect it to have a bit more of a full sort of aroma to it. Sort of slight hint of bourbon, but then as soon as it gets in your mouth, it's like, Jesus! I'm drinking 40s and I got a low rider.
What do you think?
I get vanilla as well.
Oh, I see, to me, that is... But that's what bourbon tastes like.
Yeah.
It's like, that's... To me, the bourbon really does come through, but it's like a really, really, really light bourbon. Because this is only a 5.1%. Which is weird, actually, because it's like, when it first hits, it's, you're like, oh god, this is going to be boozy. And then it kind of smooths out. I think there's a bit of, you get a bit of the malt coming through from the golden ale. It is light, but I mean, basically, if you don't like bourbon, you're going to fucking hate this drink.
It's quite dry as well. It's got quite a dry finish.
Yeah.
It's surprisingly dry, which is weird, again, for bourbon, because obviously bourbon's quite sweet. So we're saying that this is not actually barrel-aged.
No.
It's, what is it, Andrew?
Oak. Wood.
So what do they do?
Wood-flavoured. They put wood in it.
Just like your mum. waiting to make that joke for a while. Andrew actually primed me for it. Anyway.
So I'm recently coming to terms with the difference that barrel-aged is different to wood-aged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, it's pretty much they just stick a piece of wood in, right?
Now, chips.
Well, it could be
oak
chips.
Like soaked chips. Yeah.
Is it Innocent Gun do the spindle thing where they spin the beer on the? So there's a difference between leaving it in an oak barrel for months, if not years, as opposed
which probably
to,
wouldn't. It wouldn't really suit this style of
no,
beer.
No, not at all.
Well, you wouldn't get a light beer if you did that. Like, you wouldn't get a light tasting beer.
No,
I mean, it's still cheating. But, so, you know, good job, Signature. I mean, way to fuck up. No,
it's not cheating, is it? It's a way of creating an added flavour in a beer.
Yeah, yeah. Next month, Signature Brew, guest. No, Signature, if you're listening, we'd love to.
Yeah, but you think of a barrel-aged beer. When I think of barrel-aged beers, they're more sipping beers. Mm. They're the higher strength.
They are, yeah.
They're richer, they're fuller. This, you could smash this.
You could.
Big. And
surprisingly.
So, yeah.
People were at the... True yeah, Faults, the keg yeah. run out in no time. There's a lot of Rodney P fans there that were there drinking it just because, you know, not just because he had his name on it, but they was interested because he had his name on it.
Yeah.
And it did go very quickly. Yeah.
Mm. I can imagine. Okay, so in terms of sound, in terms of hip hop,
and you didn't go for Rodney P.
No. So first off, I was like, look, let's break this down to basics. So not a massively complex flavour. Like, it's pretty straightforward, which isn't a bad thing. So, on the can, they actually got what hops they use, and they use East Kent Golding and Challenger, so not surprising there. Sort of solid English hops that don't...
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not that much of a real ale fan, so I'll say they don't impart much into the beer.
they bring the bitterness to
it. We can have some arguments about that later. Quite smooth. So, I did try Rodney G.,
Rodney G.
Was that done on purpose? If it wasn't.
Oh, one beer in.
Rodney G. Who is this faker?
You were doing so well.
I've got notes in front of me and everything. So I did try Rodney P.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it was pretty much right. Like, some of his lighter stuff, especially. Like, so as I said, I had to sort of delve into his back catalogue, so I didn't know much of his stuff.
You delved into what of his?
His back catalogue. I delved down his back alley. Not some of the, obviously, like, some of the bigger, so I just went Spotify and went down popularity, but some of the he's apparently got some crazy jungle stuff. I don't know.
To be honest, I'm not even too familiar with that stuff, but the gig at True Faults, I listened, I was there when he was performing, and yeah, it did break into some jungle and drum and bass, and it's, I was like, well, I don't remember him kind of doing this stuff, but yeah
exactly. It was like, I was like, wow, okay, no. So from an experiential point of view, for some reason, when I was drinking this last night, it was making me want to go into a bit of G-funk. So, for you, Andrew, is gangster funk.
Okay.
Epitomised by the massive tune.
I thought you meant P-funk.
No.
Oh, I was getting excited there.
Well, you do know a bit of G-funk, though.
Do I?
Yep.
Do I?
G-funk.
Yeah.
Funked out with a gangster twist. If you smoke like I smoke, then you're high like every day.
No.
If your ass is a buster, 213 will regulate. Come on.
No.
Come on,
no.
Regulate. Warren G.
Oh, no, really?
It's one of the... That's not what I've chosen, though. But
well,
that
Warren
is...
Warren P, as we
so
call
that's
him.
Warren P, yeah. Good old Warren P. Really good friends with Rodney G. But that proper sort of mid-90s vibe, when it started to get a bit funkier and a bit more, like, smooth. So, I was thinking maybe... on the Warren G sort of vibe to go for a bit of Nate Dogg. So I've chosen, and we're going to play it, and then we can talk about it. I've chosen Nate Dogg, who sadly died a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Sadly
Very
died.
Sad. He was quite young. Anyway, I've chosen his song Hardest Man in Town. So let's go for it. DJ, spin that shit. I feel like I should have said this before we listened, because I got really clever here.
Got clever with what?
But I got clever with my explanations.
For the song?
So...
Oh, okay, all right, explain it now. Before I say, that didn't work.
To me, it works, but in a kind of weird way. Right. Like, okay, so one, I can imagine carrying around a 40-ounce of this, listening to that, like, in the 90s, in, like, Menace to Society or something. Like... You know, as a sort of...
I would have loved it if you was an extra in that film. Casually walking by.
Exactly, yeah. With my gold chains and... Yeah. But from a sonic point of view, and I didn't mean this to happen, the high tones, really interesting, the high tones at the beginning really bring out the sweetness of the beer.
Okay.
Which isn't there. It's not sort of prevalent in the beer. But then when his voice comes in for the predominant part of the song, mm-hmm. he's got a really sort of low, creamy sort of tone.
Sonorous.
Yeah. Mm. Which actually sort of bitters the beer slightly, which kind of balances it out. And it's like, I think that, to me, that song kind of brought out the light and dark, which is good because hip-hop is all about light and dark.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's interesting with the voice, with the voice of the artist, because that's kind of, when I was thinking about this whole show and hip-hop and the beer and stuff, like, really, it does come down to, I think, two things with hip-hop and pair and a beer. The voice of the MC or artist and the samples used within the tracks.
Yeah.
So, I was going to go into it later on, but that was a good example of the voice changing beers because it's so low.
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to hip-hop, I think that is going to be the main thing.
Oh, there you go. Did you pick Barry White isn't hip-hop?
Oh, no!
Jesus, Andrew.
But yeah, no, I think that's how it'll work with hip-hop. So I was thinking, like, different artists and, like, low voices. So Nate Dogg would be a great example of that. DMX.
Yeah.
Possibly Biggie. KRS-One. All deep sort of vocals on the tracks, which would work if you listen to the vocals. Because obviously, when you listen to hip-hop, the vocals is probably the front of the actual songs. That's what you're focusing on. So that would, if it would change the flavour on the rules of the yeah. you know, of this whole thing. And then with lighter, with more higher pitched voices like Q-Tip or rappers like that, that will change it in the same way as the deep voices.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the main things, and the sample. So actually, Nate Dogg's on the voice ways, I'm with you. Yeah, the voice of Nate Dogg would definitely change the flavours in that way.
But you're like, the song choice was shit.
I said to you when we was listening to the song, like, it's a very like laid back kind of on your own, contemplating with something maybe a bit a small pour, something very strong, which again kind of goes with the beer though because of the bourbon.
See, I thought you were going for the bourbon and the oak, and
that's pretty much what I was for. Yeah, yeah. As I said, so the pour that I had last night when I was picking this song, I swear tasted different. It was much stronger. The bourbon really came out, like, so that's my
very good
reasoning.
I totally get where he's coming from.
Actually, you know what? I reckon that'd go really well with something like Kentucky Tickle Monster as well. A nice 16%. Oh, that's a beer. That's Thank a beer, you. Josh.
Yeah.
Sorry,
not, not a song or a rapper.
Yeah, our producer was looking
Should
at
we MC
us.
Kentucky Tickle Monster.
So
or
yes,
safe word. Yeah.
He could be dead before he got all that out.
So Kentucky Tickle Monster is a bourbon aged triple IPA. 16%. So that would have gone perfectly with that. Like, real smooth. But I don't know, actually. I think there's a little bit of... I don't know. I think there is a smashable element to hip-hop songs as well. Like, I think there are... I think that's probably one of the more contemplative hip-hop songs. And there are a lot of sort of introspective, but most hip-hop is sort of like you want party drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe
no, there's a huge element of I love you, baby.
Andrew, that's Barry White.
No, there is. This whole, what am I thinking?
Are you thinking of Boyz II Men?
I'm thinking of LL Cool J and all that stuff.
Again, he's R&B, he's not hip-hop.
Oh, come on, I'd still count this hip-hop.
No, yeah, like that was the closest you can get to hip-hop that is actually R&B.
You're going
to
love my song.
I do feel like I've now copped out because having listened to that, it is pretty much R&B.
It's G-Funk.
It's G-Funk, exactly. Okay.
From the church.
Okay, so shall we move on to beer number two, Mandem.
Beer number two.
So
that sounds so much like a segue coming back in, back in the room.
And we're back. Beer number two. For those who don't know, we've actually just had a 3-day break. Beer number
two. We chilled
two.
Out.
So, had a couple spliffs. It's great.
I just want to drive a car like that.
We don't condone drug use. What? Editing out. I didn't edit out Little Boy Pants last time I was here either.
And now they're in again.
Yeah.
Now they're in again. It's like your theme.
Okay, so beer number two.
Second beer is
your choice, Andrew.
I chose it because I don't know why I chose it. Evil Twin Brewing Bikini Beer.
I remember why you chose it. You were like, "Let's fuck with him.
Let's have a challenge. Let's have a challenge." So, Evil Twin Brewing Bikini Beer,
and
I saw it on the shelf. I thought we've not done Evil Twin. That was one reason for picking it. Bikini Beer. I like bikinis. I like beer. What's not to like?
You fucking misogynist. Anyway.
I didn't say who was wearing the bikini.
He likes wearing them, yeah.
Oh, good point. Good point.
You just interpreted that.
I just presumed.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it was only when I picked it up and kind of decided to pick it that I then saw it's 2.7%.
Which, actually, so that is an odd beer for Evil Twin as well.
Yeah.
But strangely, actually, you're saying I think the words were fuck with my head or whatever it was. Actually, I love low ABV beers.
I don't love
drinking them, but I think there's something about making a really good low ABV beer, which is really difficult. Like, you know, don't get me wrong, making high MP stouts is also difficult, but I actually think it's harder to get,
to get
a low ABV decent beer.
Well, I'm guessing that's what they did, because obviously Evil Twin are known for... I don't think I've had anything of theirs that has been below 10%. Like,
no, I can't think of much.
I'm pretty sure, like, usually you're spending, what, 15 quid a pint, and it's usually around about the 15%.
And I think from a point of view, even trying to keep the beers that we have a bit fresh, you know, I don't think we've had a beer that low before on ABV, have we?
No, I don't think so.
It's not many about to pick really. In cans or bottles.
And that are decent.
So. I've not had this, and I want to taste this.
Okay, good. Okay, well, shall we pour it out then? So for those for those who don't know Evil Twin, I was only regaled of the story relatively recently.
Which is?
Do you guys know? Yeah, you do. Of course you do.
Yeah, but not everyone listening does.
No. So everybody kind of knows the name Mikella. Our producer Josh is looking...
Like Mikella Strachan,
lost.
Who does...
Yes.
Exactly. I know her.
So Mikella...
Strachan.
Mikella Brewing, obviously very big in the world. Evil Twin is run by Mikella's brother.
It was Evil Twin, yeah.
Yeah, his twin brother, isn't
is it?
Yeah,
twin?
Yeah, it is his twin brother. And it was pretty much that they kind of didn't... They. I think the urban legend, at least, is that they did fall out, and so he was like, fuck you, I'm going to start my own brewery.
Yeah, like that classic story of two brothers that fell out, and
the
one made Adidas and one made Puma or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit like
that.
I don't know him personally, so, you know, whatever. But the story is that, and I do think it is fairly, from what I've read, it's fairly true. I don't think they hate each other. I'm sure they still meet up for Christmas.
But so now they're based out. So Evil Twin, they're not doing the whole, they've got their own brewery, don't they?
No.
No, so they are Gypsy
Brewers, yeah.
10 breweries in the States, I think, they use.
Okay.
But they have their own bar and restaurant in New York.
So they're pretty much doing the same with Mikella then, because Mikella now they've got their brewery in San Diego, right?
Mm.
But they still don't have one in Europe. They're still doing the Gypsy.
In Connecticut.
There you go. See, I'm just talking out my ass now, and it's probably all wrong. But yeah, but okay, so they're both Gypsy, but obviously Mikella are more known for their European base, whereas Evil Twin are
United
States. Okay, so here we go. Let's pour this out. You can start on your tasting notes at any point, Matt.
So yeah, I had had this last night. I've not had this before actually, so it's a new beer for me. So I think on the nose, quite a light, fresh citrus aroma. Quite clean.
Ooh.
There's nothing like. There's no overpowering. Like there's no big hop aroma, there's no sweetness aroma, it's very down the middle. And then flavour wise, I find it quite cereally, so quite like a cereal sort of flavour. There is tropical flavour fruits in there, but like very, like just hints at the end. Yeah. Like it's just not like it's not power in your face, it's very at the end. I think the middle's quite, I don't think I'd go as far as say it's thin. But it's definitely lacking, but it's quite thin. I thought, yeah, maybe it is a bit thin.
You can't say thin, because it is a little bit thin.
I'd basically say non-existent.
Okay, I had a couple last night. I think I had two cans, and I actually picked up another one as well. So I think I went for all three last night, actually.
And you were still okay to drive.
Yeah. Yeah. I was off my tits on 2.7. But no, it is thin in the middle, but I've had other low ABV beers before. I don't think it's as thin as some of the other ones I've had. I still think it has a little bit to it. It's not like you're drinking water.
No.
And there's quite a high carbonation in there, so I think that helps with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, for 2.7%, I think it's very drinkable.
Yeah.
And it's I think it's quite pleasant. Before I had the beer, I was expecting it to be really bitter because I've had low ABV beers before. And it tends to make up on the ABV with really high bitternesses.
Mm.
So when I was thinking about songs, I was thinking, right, yeah, it's going to be really bitter. And I kind of had an idea and then drank it with it. I was like, no, actually, it's not as bitter as I was expecting it to be, which is a good thing, I think.
But I am still finding it quite bitter.
I think it's got that kind of... Yeah, it's the early American IPA style citrusy bitterness, but it's not like crazy,
yeah.
Sierra Nevada style, like 150 IBU or whatever.
I think it's like a prickling tingle. Yeah. It's like a sort of like a prickling tingle on your tongue. Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking.
Prickling carbonation.
Yeah, so
prickling carbonation.
A lot of that is coming from the carbonation.
Can I read one of the lines they used to describe this?
Mm.
This is attractively light bodied, seductively well balanced. And very drinkable. Bikini beer is anything but a sissy beer.
Mm.
That's the marketing from Evil Twin.
Fire your marketing person, Evil Twin.
Yeah.
That was... I mean, the thing is this is... It's... It is quite... It is...
It's very drinkable.
I don't know. I'm not... I'll be the first to say that I'm not loving this beer.
It's drinkable because...
The aroma is phenomenal. Like, that smell is gorgeous, but it's too light. It's too thin. It's too. It, you said it's not that watery. I think it is actually quite watery.
I found there was still like flavour in there. I didn't find it.
There
really
is
watery.
Definitely flavour in there. It's probably still the best low ABV beer I've had. But
well, this is when the music comes in, it changes everything.
Actually,
for
yes. This is going to be good.
This is why we do this.
Yeah. So, what I was thinking with the track now or after the track?
No, you can...
Introduce it, sort of seg it in and sort of, you know, set us up and then afterwards knock us down with your amazing insight.
So, yeah, where it is quite fairly thin and I feel like it just needs a bit of an oomph.
Yep.
So that's where I was going with the track, just to bring it up a little bit. And that track is Pete Rock and Seal, Smooth.
Woo.
They reminisce over you. Brackets, Troy.
Is that a euphemism? Brackets. They reminisce over you. Is that like a hip hop metaphor?
Shut up, let's play it.
Shall I say, think back 22 years ago to keep it on track. The birth of a child on the 8th of October. A toast, but my granddaddy came sober. Count all the fingers and the toes. Now I suppose you hope the little black boy grows. 18 years younger than my mama. But I really got beaten with the girl of trauma. In single parenthood, there I stood. By the time she was 21, had another one. This one's a girl, let's name her Pam. Same father as the first, but you don't give a damn. Irresponsible, plain not thinking. Papa said chill, but the brother keep winking. Still he won't down, you would tear out your hide. On your side while the baby make a slide. But mama got wise to the game. The youngest of five kids, hun, here it is. After 10 years without no spouse, mama's getting married in the house. Listen, positive over negative, for the woman a master. Mother queen's rise in the chapter. Deja vu, tell you what I'm gonna do when they reminisce over you, my God. I date back, I recall
call a man off the family tree. My right hand, Papa Doc, I see. Woo. Took me from a boy to a man, so I always had a father when my biological didn't bother. Yeah. Taking care of this, so who am I to bicker? Not a bad ticker, but I'm clocking Pop's liver. Yeah. But you can never say that as life is through. Five kids at 21, believe he got a right to. Right. Here we go while I check the scene with the Portuguese lover at the age of 14. The same age, front page, no fuss, but I bet you all you know they live longer than us.
Right.
Never been seen now, that's where you're wrong. Uh-huh. But give the man a taste and he's gone. Not enough sleep to a jazz tune. I can hear his head banging on the wall in the next room. I get the pillow and hope I don't wake him. Yeah. For this man to cuss, hear it all in verbatim. Uh-huh. Telling me how to raise my boy unless he's taking over. I said, Pop, maybe when you're older. Uh-huh. We laughed all night about the hookers at the party. My old man standing yelling, good God almighty. Uh-huh. Use your condom, take sips of the brew.
Right.
When they reminisce
right.
over you, for real.
For real, baby.
I reminisce so you never forget this. The days are way back, so many bear witness the fitness.
Yeah.
Take the first letter out of each word in this joint. Listen close as I prove my point. T to the R-O-Y, how did you and I meet in front of Big Lou's fighting in the street? But only you saw what took many time to see. I dedicate this to you for believing in me. Rain or shine, yes, in any weather.
Yeah.
My grandma Pam holds the family together. My Uncle Doc's the greatest, better get the latest. If we're talking about a car, Uncle Sterling got the latest.
Yeah.
I strive to be live because I got no choice and run my own business like my Aunt Joyce.
Yeah.
So Pete Rock hit me, enough respect due.
Uh-huh.
When they reminisce over you, listen.
Listen, just listen to the funky song as I rock on. And that word is born. I'm not playing. Everybody, just cool it. This song is dedicated to the one and only. Never be another, he was my brother. Trouble T. Roy, it's like that, y'all. And it don't stop. Rock and Seal Smooth from 92. And we out.
So yeah, what I was thinking was that, well, firstly, that's like one of my favourite hip-hop tracks of all time. I think it's one of the best hip-hop tracks of all time. I think it's probably the best sample used in hip-hop. I think it's instantly recognisable. So what I was thinking with that track was two or three things. So the sample itself is fairly high, so I think that helps pick out the tropical fruit flavours in the beer. And then when the track kicks in with the bass in the background, it's not like it's not really in your face like dirty bass. It's quite a boomy,
yeah.
Low level bass that just helps a little bit with the bitterness. And I think the two together, like, is that oomph that's missing from the beer. So last night, slightly different to this environment, but last night I'm sitting on the sofa with my partner Michelle. She's watching the telly. I've got my I've got my headphones in. I've got my eyes shut. I've got my notepad in front of me. I'm drinking a beer. I will
doing
name
research.
I'll name drop Pete McCary because he did pull me up on Twitter. Mm. I said, and Michelle was looking at me with a funny look. As he did say, my eyes were shut. But when I opened my eyes, she's looking at me. She's like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I'm like,
"So, explain to me, you people that know, what is that? What was that genre of that song? What was it?"
When we were talking about the '95, '96 best,
yeah.
Era,
so
I think
I'd
that's
say
a good example of that.
It's almost boom like bap. A cross between boom bap and like,
boom bap.
Boom bap.
Okay.
Yeah. And like, I'd say like that. Yeah, the '90s positive hip hop. So the sort of De La Soul, Arrested Development.
Love De La Soul.
But yeah, I know you do. It's the only thing that
you do like hip hop.
See, it's literally like De La Soul is the only hip hop that Andrew loves.
PM Dawn
doesn't count,
doesn't it? Why not?
Mate.
Why?
Blondie.
Blondie, definitely. The
first...
fact I didn't pick Rapture,
mate.
Can't
first,
you sound lucky?
First rap track. In the charts.
Yeah, exactly.
Ever.
Fab Five Freddy.
Riding the Rat. Great track from Riding the Rat.
Yeah.
No, it's Chaz and Dave. Chaz and Dave are my favourite hip hop
artists. No, they don't.
Of all time. So, anyway.
I have got Golden Looking Chain coming up later.
Jesus Christ. Please don't. Please don't. Don't end it on that. Anyway. No, I do think that, like, I think that does suit the beer. I think what you're saying, like, so we're drinking it probably a tad bit warmer than it should be.
Yeah.
But I do think that sonically worked. And actually, I mean, that is a experientially that is a party track.
Yeah, so that's my second bit of it is, I don't know. I can't even put my finger on it. That song just reminds me of summer.
Mm.
Like, it's a very summery song.
Yeah, if I was in a film and there's a film about my life, that would be like the slow motion with your mates walking into the barbecue. That would be playing in the background. That's the kind of song.
The montage.
That
the summer montage. Yeah.
It's everyone's nodding at each other in slow motion, like thumbs up. that would be the track for me. So I was going for both. I was trying to tick both the boxes. And when I did a bit of research, the other interesting thing I found as well. Obviously, we were talking about bass, it increases bitterness, but they also say that it increases the feel, the ABV, went in with this beer as well. I don't think it needs to. It doesn't need to feel like a bigger beer. I think it feels, you can tell it's a light beer, but...
As they say, it's not a sissy beer.
It's not a sissy beer.
Just because you're drinking 2.7.
You know what? No, 2.7. I think that's a pretty accurate rating on Untappd, yeah.
Oh, you're harsh.
Ouch.
You're never going to get invited.
I'm never. Evil twin, I'm struck off their... No, you know what? That means they need... Hey, no, this is also... It's funny, because it's... I think it is a low ABV beer, so I'm still... I do think this is probably one of the best I've had, but I had the same with Siren, so they recently did Half Mast.
Yeah.
Which is a...
Is that the Quipper? Kipper?
Yeah, so it's it's a low ABV IPA, basically. And the same thing, it's like, look, you've done everything that should have been right, but all I'm getting is a predominant flavour of sparkling water.
Have you had it on cask?
No.
It's amazing on cask.
Okay. So I'll reserve judgment.
Yeah, on cask. I've had it in a couple of formats. I think I've had it bottle. I don't know if I've had it on keg, but I've liked every time I've had it, but cask is amazing.
Mm. See, it is the only Siren beer that I have turned my nose up and given below like a 4 rating. It's because, I mean, generally I fucking love everything they do. So, I mean, I don't want to slag this off too much because it is a good low ABV beer.
No, you've just given it about 5 minutes.
We won't tag them, it's okay. Anyway, okay. No, that's... I think that's a good choice. I mean, shit choice of beer, Andrew. Good job. But
I genuinely hadn't had it before. I had no idea what to expect with that.
Okay.
And Evil Twin, come on.
I love Evil Twin.
So...
I think they're amazing.
I think it's right. Yeah. For what it is, I think it, you know, it ticks a box. So.
Fine. Okay, so it's 3-1 here. Yeah.
I've drunk all mine, so...
Anyway, okay. So, well, shall we... Do you have anything more to say? Andrew, do you want to elucidate any more?
No, I enjoyed that song. Is Pete Rock his real name?
He was born Pete Rock.
Pete Rock's the producer.
Oh, sorry.
Series Move is the MC.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So this one we didn't mention, actually, because we thought we'd have some more time to elucidate on the beers without going over the 3-hour mark. We're only doing 3 beers this episode.
I know. Yep.
Crazy! Mm. One for each of us. But we do have a special treat at the end, right? So it's okay. That's where we're going to douse you in flames, in petrol, and set you on fire, Josh.
Oh, again. Right, okay.
Good. So let's move on to beer number 3.
Beer number 3
is... Am I saying this?
I can say it. It is Magic Rock's Dark Arts.
Say that again.
Magic Rock Dark Arts. Arse. Which is a apparently a surreal stout.
A surreal stout. Okay.
Or is it oatmeal stout?
It's
surreal stout. Yeah. My eyes aren't that bad.
Is that a play on cereal stout?
Oh,
I don't know.
Who knows? So this was a beer that was chosen for you by the lovely Matt.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Do you want to crack it open?
Oh, that's probably a good idea, isn't it?
We've done Magic Rock before. I think the first episode we did had Magic Rock in.
We've had a few Magic Rocks, I think. I don't know. This is amazing podcasting right now. This is phenomenal. Let's open the beer.
Okay, so, shall I read out Magic Rock's description of this beer?
Yes.
Because, this is marketing at its best. Dark Arts blends 4 malts and bags of whole hops to deliver a decadently deep and indulgent experience. A luxuriously smooth mouthfeel is followed by spicy hot notes.
Where's your glass?
And full flavours of chocolate, licorice, blackberries and figs. Luke, you're talking over me.
Sorry.
The finish is rich and satisfying with a lingering roasted bitterness. Our stout will convert you to the dark side.
Your mum's got a roasted bitterness. Sorry.
Journalism.
Anyway, okay, so
it's a stout from
almost
Magic Rock.
Through.
It's a stout from Magic Rock.
It is a stout from Magic Rock,
and it smells lovely.
I mean, this is so. This has actually, I've had this multiple times before. This is a lovely staple beer. What's the ABV on it?
About six.
No, it's not too bad.
It's six.
Okay.
is that an appreciation, Josh?
Yeah, that's enough. You could chew that. It's lovely.
Yeah, it's lovely.
So I. What was the thinking behind choosing this?
I think you told me what beer it was. You was getting it for me. I just thought we'd go for a complete opposite. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good because I think we've had a good.
Obviously, I knew what beer I was getting for you guys. You told me this first one. I was like, bam, let's go with something completely different.
Right. So, obviously, I can't tell you how it looks because I'm drinking it out of a mug here today.
Because I'm classy. Because we're all about...
But it looks like a stout. It's dark.
It is. It's black.
It's got a creamy tan head on it.
It's got a nice bit of lacing.
Mahogany glow as well at the bottom.
Mahogany glow. I'm stealing that one.
You've been spending a lot of time with Ruth, haven't you?
Aroma.
Beer sommelier in the making here.
So I don't... The ingredients don't mention coffee, but I'm getting coffee.
Well, that's the roasted malt, right?
Yeah, but you'd hope you'd get that.
Isn't that basically...
No, but some stouts have coffee in
anything,
them.
Yeah, but anything roasted malt, you're basically like, chocolate, coffee yep, check.
Yep. So my notes say, sweet coffee notes, hints of chocolate.
But it is, it's a solid stout, right?
It is, it's excellent.
It's a nice light stout.
A light stout. You're right. At 6%, it's
not impy.
No.
Medium stout.
Okay.
It's a very smooth mouthfeel. Like it's not thick. It's not chewy.
Nope. Yeah.
Yeah. Smooth. It's not challenging ABV wise.
No. You can. This is.
I think it drinks less than 6%. Actually, I think
it does. I wouldn't be surprised if this was a 4%
if they were lying?
Stout.
You're lying.
Yeah, I think they're lying.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to get a bit more money out of us.
So the bitterness is a roasty bitterness. Yeah, roasty bitterness. I think there's sweetness in there as well, which I like. Hints of chocolate, maybe licorice. They describe it as blackberries and figs. I'm not getting any of that.
Get figs.
That's nonsense.
You're a... Again, beer sommelier in the making here.
Yeah.
I can see that. I can kind of get the blackberries, but I don't
definitely.
Get the figs.
No. I can get the bitterness of the blackberries, yeah.
Blackberries aren't bitter.
What blackberries are you tasting?
Blackcurrants. What are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of blackberries.
They've been bitter.
Yeah, they've got a
they're
bitterness
sharp,
to them.
They're sour. They're not bitter.
Bitterness to them. What blackberries are you having? Wherever you're getting your blackberries from, I want some.
Cats have been on your blackberries.
Probably. Yeah, it's a bit of a mix of... that's what I think this...
So what did
nice
you think I was going to pick? What did you
nice
think I was going to pick
blackberries and cat pee.
What do you think I was going to pick? Come on, guess me out. Come on. I'm going to read out a list of bands I thought about.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Goldie Looking Chain.
That was on there?
Lonely Island.
No.
Anyway.
But
Beastie Boys.
No, I didn't have any Beastie Boys in there.
I'm surprised.
Okay, so I wanted something British.
Yeah.
Stout, it's British.
Yeah, okay. It's not actually. Stout is technically Irish, but whatever.
Okay. Well, part of Ireland's Britain.
Yeah, but not the part that Stout came from. Jesus, get your facts right, Andrew.
Okay, Porter, Stout, it's a quintessential...
I mean, you're supposed to be
a
professional.
British drink. It's a British beer. All right? So I wanted British hip-hop.
Wow, this would have gone down really well, because your knowledge of British hip-hop
is astounding.
It's about the same as your knowledge of the duck-billed platypus.
So thank goodness for Wikipedia. It tells me...
Oh, God.
it's five, isn't it?
Oh, God. it's that the amazing S Club album track from their first album.
Okay, so we in the pub, we mentioned earlier Hector Berserk.
Yep.
Was... something I thought about. There's another Scottish band called the La Fontaines.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Scottish hip hop. So that's where I was starting to go. I contemplated Sleaford Mods.
Okay.
Because I think that counts.
Yeah.
But then it boiled down to two bands or two acts.
Bell and Sebastian.
Yep.
And Arab Strap.
Yeah. So the first one was Ghost Poet. Yeah. Dark voice, deep, boomy type of voice. I wanted something slightly edgy, something dark in the lyrics. So Ghost Poet was one of the options. Can you guess the second option? Ooh, excuse my stomach.
Lady Sovereign.
No. So I wanted to keep it British. I wanted British hip-hop, or my definition of British hip-hop, which is not your...
S-O-V.
I went for Young Fathers.
Ah, okay. I should have known this.
Yeah.
It's the only one that's won a Mercury Prize recently. Actually, no, Stormzy won last year, so yeah.
There you go.
But, the only one that Six Music play.
Young Fathers from Scotland, funnily enough, even though they don't sound Scottish.
Yep.
Although I do applaud people that sing in their normal accents.
Which is why we should be playing a bit of Hector Berserk.
Cause I know.
Nothing is better than hearing a guy rap about taking a piss against Marks and Spencers.
Is that Scottish?
Something like that.
Okay. So the track is Young Fathers, Get Up.
Come in, do the right thing. Fumbling through the ether, take a ride in Aquila. Cost you 30 liras, push your dealer, hits the meter. A shrewd operator in the shadow of a beacon. Have a dirty weekend, interesting proposition. Insinuate and listen. Listen. What a way to make a living. Scissors to the ribbon. Throw my hands like a reverend. Triple sixes, double sevens. When I get down to this, cut catalyst. Cut. For a revolution.
I remember very clearly. That was Young Fathers with Get Up.
Written in capital letters for some reason.
Written in capital letters off their first album. Andrew, that was a dog shit choice.
Oh, don't say that. It's an awesome song.
It's an awesome song. I'll give you that. I just think it was a poor choice for the beer.
Why? I think... Okay.
Okay, so, whilst it was playing,
yeah.
Josh,
yeah.
Sound engineer Josh,
yeah.
Man who knows his sound and his yeah. audio spectrum, yeah. quite rightly pointed out that the reason you picked that was because of the bass tones, mm. which don't exist in that song.
Well, I think they do. So who's right?
Josh!
I think it's my speakers.
It's no, so it's like, it's I got where you were going for. Okay. I just, you know what, you should have gone further, Andrew. Should have gone down the hip hop rabbit hole. Started finding all of these amazing people. No. Instead of sitting in your safe little bubble.
It wasn't safe. I listened to loads of songs.
What else
and
did you listen to?
And I still came to? Back
Come
to
on.
It.
You listened
I've,
to
I've rattled them off. What I listened to.
Bit of Sleeping Mods, bit of Hector Berserk.
Yeah, yeah.
It's what you listen to every day, Andrew. I'm not angry. I'm disappointed.
I think with a stout, you want something that's like, I don't know, I personally want like a slower track.
Mm.
Deep, oh. thinky. Like you're sitting there, like kind of like the Nate Dogg at the beginning. I think that would have fitted this beer as well.
Sage Francis.
Yep.
Something Sage that's Francis, really... Inherited Scars would have been great. Personal Journals would have been great for this. Bit of introspective hip hop.
Oh, what a shame you weren't picking them.
Do you know what, Andrew? You could have asked me. I have a playlist called Introspective Hip Hop. I could have sorted you out, man. Mandem. Fam.
I still think it's a good one. And that's what okay. matters.
That's what matters. So what were you trying to go for there?
I explained it beforehand, didn't I?
But you're standing by it.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck you guys. This yeah. is right.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
I challenge you to drink that beer and not enjoy it better for that song.
Do you think it's harder when you really enjoy a beer to then try and pair it?
No. I think it's harder to think when... I think when we're picking, it's harder to think outside what you would normally gravitate to. So, yeah, I think that's the hard bit.
That's cause I found it interesting with the Evil Twin. I found it not easier, but I found it more enjoyable. Where I kind of knew what I thought was missing, not missing from the beer, because say we said about it being low ABV, but what could maybe enhance it a bit. Whereas I would probably struggle with Dark Arts because it's just a beer that I love anyway. How can I okay, like? I don't really want to enhance anything in it because I think it's a great beer. I wasn't sure if it was an easier thing for you guys to do or a harder thing.
Well, maybe then you'd be thinking along the lines of what scenario I'm in when I'm really enjoying this, and that's what you might have gone for. I don't know.
Yeah, that's usually what I do. If it's a beer that there, because we have done a couple of beers that I absolutely love, and it usually just has been okay. Well, in what situation do I love this? And it does. I mean, but then that might lead you down the wrong path for what mm-hmm. is actually right for the beer, because what you associate it with isn't quite often the right thing. Like Bibliotheque's iced mocha latte or whatever it's called, 9% stout, because he said it was a smashable summer stout for a barbecue. That's what I associate it with. It's a fucking 8.5% stout.
Mate, anything you're smashing into a barbecue, that is the barbecue itself.
Yeah. Exactly. So. Yeah. I think it's. Look, Andrew. It's an admirable effort.
Shut up. So patronising.
But yeah, I'm looking for a new host next. Matt, what are you doing? What are you doing in December? Are you free?
So you can make this an annual hip hop challenge.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that actually that could be an idea, because it's interesting. Previous guest on this show, Pete Brown, I bumped into him at a trade event about a month ago. And I was talking about this, and he thought it was really interesting, and he was saying it was an interesting thing to do something with contemporary music to pair, something a little bit outside the box. So I'm not saying that Pete might want to come on and do a hip hop challenge, but I'm sure there's people that
are
might.
Are you throwing it out there?
Pete Brown, Matt Jennery has laid down the gauntlet.
I think that's out there.
Hip hop challenge for you. It can be the basis of your next book. It is okay. Okay, so on that note, shall we?
No, because we have we've got an outro track for this episode.
We do. So first off, we'll do the admin, and then we'll get onto the outro track.
What's the admin?
What admin do we have?
We say thank you very much.
That.
Big thank you to Matt for coming down. Big thank you to the guys at Signature for hooking us up.
Yep, these beers were free from Signature, so yeah, massive thumbs up for them guys for that.
Very good. Awesome. Evil Twin didn't give us free beers and never will after that.
Sorry. I'll do an apology statement after.
Okay,
it'll be fine.
Fair enough.
They'll delete me from Twitter. It'll be okay. Next up, next month, we are with the lads from It's All Happening, which the beer crowd won't know.
No, they won't.
But the music crowd will go mental for! So our good mates, Dan and John, who are going to come down. So they're also quite big beer geeks, but massive indie geeks. So we're going to team up with them and chat music and beer.
And play Christmas songs.
Play some Christmas songs, yeah. And then January, we have no idea, but February.
February, hopefully we're off to Edinburgh.
Yeah, so we're going to go up and hang out with Pilot, which I'm hoping that their beer game is as strong as their Twitter game. It's so that's very exciting. But and then in the new year, we've got some exciting things coming up.
Have we?
Yeah, we've got random emails floating about, I'm sure.
Okay.
So you'll see us in various cities around the UK, hopefully. I'm just making shit up now. Shall we go back to what the... So we do have a special outro track.
As suggested by our guest tonight, and I think you need to explain it and give a bit of background and we will play it out.
So obviously, I wanted to throw something out there for our Aussie presenter. there's a guy called C who... He lives in Canada, but he's Australian. He's a hip hop artist. Does very well over there, and he has a track called Brewheads, which is probably the most beeriest song I think I've ever heard in my life. It talks about, well, you hear the track at the end, but it talks about home brews and queuing up for special releases and beer mail and all that kind of stuff.
It's like the geekiest beer track, and it's Australian hip hop. Like, I'm sorry, guys, my seat's going to be wet by the end of this song.
he does a podcast as well called Beer and Other Shit. So check that out on YouTube and on his website. Proper nice guy. So yeah, check him out.
Nice. Okay, June. That's June podcast. We're going to go over to Canada.
Yeah,
we'll do a bit of a crossover episode. So this is C
as in C-E-E, Brewheads. If it's not on there.
Until next time.
Oh, stop filling in.
Bye.
Yeah, this one right here is for my real beer fanatics. Cheers. Yeah. This is for my real brew heads, keep a growler in the cellar. Who never caught dead with a macro when they head out. Who be sleeping at the liquor store, really though. Homie, cause somebody finna get it if the Westwood Terrans sell out. And when the alchemist shut down, you shed a tear. But they'll be back, they're head to topper and dipping, yeah. And nothing make my day more when CL UPS is knocking at the door like beer mail. And this a gift from the gods, the amber nectar with a reverence reserved for the lords. It's something special that we dealing with except for the law. So either way, we finna pull it up, I'm sipping with y'all. And this is craft, we don't get turned, no sir, it's the real thing here. Yeast, hops, water, malt, everything you need here. Pick your glassware, this ain't a game, man. From Montreal to Melbourne City, here we say,
are you a brew head? I'm a brew head. Are you a brew head? I'm a brew head. Y'all are brew heads? Yeah, we brew heads. So pour a glass of craft beer, we can do this. Are you a brew head? I'm a brew head. Are you a brew head? I'm a brew head. Y'all are brew heads? Yeah, we brew heads. So pour a glass of craft beer, we can do this.
Okay, if you a real brew head, you finna understand. There's more to know about the beer that's going in your can. With hella styles available year round, ain't no reason not to be particular on what you drinking now. Summer saison, shouts to all the Belgian farmers who quench the thirst of all the workers hustling the harvest. And the cloudy whip beer be the shit here. A Hefeweizen and a Lager do the trick, yeah. And everybody love the fall for the pumpkin and amber with enough for that cinnamon and nutmeg. And as the mood is getting colder in the winter, find me sipping on a porter with the cherry and vanilla, an oatmeal stout, a nut brown imperial. The illest is the double IPA, the real heads, oh no. A barley wine, Dunkin' Bach, or Trappist Ale. Education is the real indicator.
Are you
a
brew head? I'm a brew head. Are you a brew head? I'm a brew head. Y'all are brew heads? Yeah, we brew heads. So pour a glass of craft beer, we can do this. Are you a brew head? I'm a brew head. Are you a brew head? I'm a brew head. Y'all are brew heads? Yeah, we brew heads.
So pour a glass of craft beer, we can do this.
Homie, I'm a real brew head. Yeah, been new this. I'm a few brews in, but I still don't know shit. It's an art and a science. The heart with the mind, and I done drank beer so good, applause is required. So I get down with a mash tun, homemade. My own recipe, no extract, all grain. With two row malt crystal, hand milled, 17 pounds, so simple. And still, the hops is key, we ramping up this thing a bit. We dry hopping, so we amping up the bitterness. With some Millennium, Amarillo, and Cascade. We got Centennial, Fuggles, Golding, and Saz, man. It's craft beer, never no exclusive thing. I've never seen a community so inclusive, kid. Every micro brew that I might go through, this is a salute to the brewers doing right.
Are you a brew head? I'm a brew head. Are you a brew head? I'm a brew head. Y'all are brew heads? Yeah, we brew heads. So pour a glass of craft beer, we can do this. Are you a brew head? I'm a brew head. Are you a brew head? I'm a brew head. Y'all are brew heads? Yeah, we brew heads. So pour a glass of craft beer, we can do this. Yeah.